apart, but only the lonely know why I cry. Only the lonely.
Roy Orbison, man, he was the best, was he not? Only the lonely. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I hope you're not lonely with us. This is a group think program. We all get together. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. We got a lot going on. Thank you for being with us on this Wednesday, January the 10th. In a few minutes, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, he's going to join us. We are going to talk about the December jobs report, a report he says shows employers becoming very wary of economic conditions and are pulling back in their hiring. So stay tuned for that. And House Republicans are mulling a resolution this morning that will hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress for not showing up to testify under a subpoena. So stay tuned for that. We'll talk about it. And by the way, are you a fan of the TV series Yellowstone? Well, its creator is taking liberals to task for scoffing at the work ethic philosophy of the TV series, of all things. And he has talked about a famous poem that foretold our current woke society. We're going to bring you that poem. In fact, we're going to bring it to you in its original radio presentation by a guy by the name of Paul Harvey. Some of you may remember that name, so stay tuned for that. And our ultimate top 10, the top 10 richest U.S. politicians. We'll give you that at the end of the show. So we got a lot going on. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located in Dunedin. I have never found a better place for a men's haircut. It's in the Overcash Plaza. They'll give you a great haircut at a terrific price. Call for your appointment, please, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service, do you have anything that you need done with a tree? Do you need to remove it, plant it, spruce it up, seed it, whatever it is? You need to stump grind. The best place in Tampa Bay for any of that is Arbor Life Tree Service. Please call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. All right, so, hey, what is going on here with this Secretary of Defense? This guy apparently decided if he would sneak a prostate surgery and not let anybody know, including anybody in the Pentagon. It turned out, unfortunately for him, that he had, what do you call it? I guess not a bad result, but he had
a reaction.
He had a reaction to it. Mm. Not surprising. They put him in ICU for a while. All this time, he never tells anybody. Not even President Biden. And so Biden apparently didn't hear about this thing with the Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin and his prostate cancer till yesterday. And that's the same day as the public and a month after the diagnosis. We knew that he had, he said he had an elective surgery.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is prostate surgery elective?
I don't think so.
I would elect to take it if I had prostate cancer.
Yeah. As far as Biden finding out only yesterday, I'm thinking these days Biden's finding out a lot of things just yesterday.
Yes.
And apparently what happened was he had the procedure done. When he came out, he was in so much pain that they had to take him back in.
Yes.
And I don't know, somebody that dropped the ball. Supposedly, the second in command was in either Puerto Rico with the flu.
They had
the flu in Puerto Rico. One or the other. We couldn't get a straight answer.
They were floating around somewhere outside of our country.
Right. And Kirby, of course, who's a no lip, you know what? He tried. Oh well, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, just because he wasn't available. Come on.
He is a spokesman for the Pentagon. He was taken to task by Peter Doocy of Fox News. I watched that, and Kirby had no answer.
Yeah.
When Ducey said, after all of this, how can we believe anything coming out of the White House and the administration? That's what Ducey asked. And Kirby just kind of... He had a long pause, you know.
If I'm not mistaken, anybody with a hiring official like that, I believe once they're put out into anesthesia, whatever, they have to be notifying the second person in command.
Of course.
Anything can happen when you're under the anesthesia.
Of course. It's a huge mistake.
Let somebody know. It's just...
Here's what Kirby said, by the way. For a situation like this to go as long as it did without the commander-in-chief knowing about it, or the National Security Advisor knowing about it, or frankly, other leaders in the Defense Department, that's not the way this is supposed to happen. Yeah, no kidding. I thought that, didn't Biden say at the beginning of his term he was going to be a no-nonsense president? Anybody gets out of line, he was going to fire him on the spot. You remember that?
Open,
he said that.
Open administration.
I will fire them
open
on the
administration.
Spot. Open and I will fire them on the spot. So, anyway, I think there is a chance that Austin's career may go down the tubes. If this, it's not just the conservatives. There are Democrats that have joined in saying that this was a horrible security breach. Horrible security breach. So we'll see what happens.
I hate to say this, but it's on my mind that with everything going on with the border and now the fumbles like this, and then the fact that there's going to be a change in the White House in November. If somebody's going to hit us, they're going to do it quick. I mean...
In other words, we're vulnerable until the new president. God. Yeah, that's not until a year from now, by the way. We got this idiot supposedly going to be in the White House until January of next year.
You get worried about getting caught with your pants down. Our pants are off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm worried about it, too. Very, very worried about it. I'll tell you what, we got a lot going on. We're going to take our break, however, because we have a guy, a good friend of ours, Sean Higgins of the Competitive Enterprise Institute in the wings, and we're going to talk with him about the December jobs report. It's a report that he says shows employers are becoming wary of economic conditions, and they are pulling back in their hiring. She called me. She was tired, cause her mind was dragging. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. This is the Tantalk Radio Network. Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrews, Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, it's Wednesday. Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. An old buddy of ours, Sean Higgins, who has been with us many years on this program. He is a research fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He focuses on things like employment and labor issues, deregulation, among other things. And we're going to talk with Sean about the December jobs report. Sean, welcome back.
Good morning. Good morning, Tampa.
Yes. Always a delight to have you here. Always makes our morning brighter. So we had a jobs report that looked fairly good, I thought. I want to get your take. We added about 216,000 jobs, if we can believe the number, although I have found in the past that even that the initial numbers tend to come down a little later. Maybe you can update us on that, Sean. But overall, what do you think about the report?
Yeah, the headlines from most of the media were that this was a positive report, and that was because the gains were up from the previous month, which was 199,000, at least initially. As you point out, they tend to massage those numbers later. The thing about it is that the trend overall from year to year is down. Because earlier in the year, we were getting monthly gains of 225,000, so we're below what we were doing at the beginning of the year. And if you look at some of the longer-term trends, I mean, the number of people employed part-time for economic reasons is up by 333,000 over the last year. The number of people, discouraged workers who just aren't looking for jobs, is up by 306,000. And so there's while the some of the top-line numbers might look good, the longer-term trend, I think, shows a fair amount of softness in the economy.
Yeah, yeah. And you mentioned that employers are kind of wary as the year starts about, number one, about finding good good candidates, I guess, for work. That's kind of a scary thought. You know, don't we have enough qualified candidates out there? And also other labor issues. Yeah, go ahead on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been one of the more persistent issues, and the reason why the unemployment rate hasn't gone down any further than it has is that, you know, and you hear this from employers all the time, is we can't find qualified people. We have openings, and they just remain open forever because there just aren't, the qualified people that we need. There's a lot of skilled trade positions out there and other things that require specialized knowledge that employers just can't find people to fill. It's not a case of where it's easy to do on-the-job training or that type of stuff. I mean, we're talking about, welders or other type of, things where you just can't just hand the stuff over to somebody and say, do it. And that's been one of the persistent problems that we've had. On top of that, there's wages have been rising a lot, benefits have been rising, and labor is just getting a lot more expensive for employers. And now there's also been a whole surge in labor strikes and activity. Yeah. I mean, the unions are using this very tight labor market because they believe with reason that they have upper hand in a lot of these strikes, and they're using that momentum to try and squeeze employers even more. And so as a consequence, they're looking at this saying, well, maybe we should try to get by with fewer workers. Maybe we can see what we can do with automation or outsourcing or something of that nature. And so you're seeing that sort of trend, and I think that's what's sort of behind some of these lingering numbers of that are actually growing over the past year.
I want to ask you, Sean, about manufacturing in this country. It has been eroding for years. I'm not sure when we were at the peak, maybe in the 70s. But ever since then, it seems like we have been giving up our manufacturing superiority at one time to all these other countries. Are we still on a downward slide?
The short answer is yes. The reason for that is, I mean, people tend to look back at the mid-20th century, which was the height of manufacturing in the U.S., as a sort of golden period. But what people forget is one of the reasons why the manufacturing was so dominant in that period was because World War II had devastated Europe, it had devastated Japan, and the Cold War was under full swing, so most of the stuff behind the Iron Curtain wasn't available. So the U.S. was on top because it just didn't have much in the way of competition. When Japan and Germany began to recover in the mid to late 60s and into the 70s, and they started to get really competitive in things like cars and that type of stuff, that's when manufacturing started to suffer. I mean, it's a little unfair to manufacturing to say they sort of gave up when it's just there's a lot more competition.
More competition.
It became a lot harder to deal with it. And that competition is still out there, and manufacturing is still struggling to sort of come to grips with this, and they're facing a lot of the other problems. I mean, the UAW strike with the big three automakers has raised the labor costs for those guys while they're trying to transition to electronic vehicles and facing substantial foreign competition. It's a very difficult market, very difficult situation for them to try and navigate, and that's reflected in the struggles they face in terms of maintaining both their value and their workforce.
Mm-hmm. Here's kind of a question out of left field for you, Sean. Is there any country in the world right now you would point to that is doing great in manufacturing?
Ironically, the one that's had the big sort of upswing in manufacturing most recently is Russia, and that's because they're trying to take over the Ukraine, and they've been forced to put themselves on a war footing, and that's actually helping to solve some of their internal economic problems.
Wow.
So that's kind of a grim bit of news, but that's, they don't call economics the dismal science for nothing.
No, they don't. Now, the biggest product they have to export is energy, right?
Yes. And they're selling, and while there's a lot of embargoes and or sanctions and that type of stuff, they just turn around and sell it to people who aren't subject to the sanctions, like China and such. And they turn around and can resell it themselves. So it's really hard to sort of clamp down on it that way and prevent them from being able to make money.
Right. Back here in our country, the stock market overall has been doing fairly well. Does it go against the grain when it comes to the employment numbers?
It can. I mean, it depends on the company. I mean, a lot of times shedding workforces and slimming down is actually, makes companies more profitable. I mean, labor is one of the biggest input costs. So if you can reduce the headcount that way, you can do that. And a lot of times, that can actually, those efficiencies can make things more profitable in other areas in terms of, if you can automate things more, then you can probably get more stuff out and sold and stuff. So that will improve not just reducing the labor costs, but, the volume of the work that you can do. So they're not always directly connected. And they can sometimes even run in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
Do you have any thought about how the stock market will perform overall? I mean, this is always a guess. I know that. But based on the way things are starting out this year, do you feel that people, should continue to feel that their money is fairly safe there?
I wish I could give you a good answer, Paul.
I know.
But I hate to cop out on you, I'm a sort of employment policy guy and not a financial market guy.
I know. I threw that one in.
You probably asked my colleague Ryan Young or Richard Morrison here at the CEI.
Yeah, fair enough. That's I will take back that question. We're talking, by the way, with Sean Higgins. His area of expertise indeed is labor, employment, and deregulation. And speaking of deregulation, Sean, doesn't seem like the Biden administration seems to realize that the more you deregulate, the better it is for everybody.
No, they don't. In fact, they take it in the sort of opposite direction. They are very concerned about losing control over sort of any sector of the economy and will push back against that. We've seen a number of areas where they're just trying to assert more authority and power. I mean, we just had new rule came out yesterday by the Labor Department in which they're going to determine who is actually an employee and who is a freelancer, and they're not really going to give the worker any say in that. And that's the classic type of regulatory creep that just comes from it. Biden is one of those guys, he's literally always worked in public service and government at some level throughout his entire life. He just doesn't see anything other than being able to control it as a positive good.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think this whole administration is kind of in some ways, very anti-capitalistic. The things that they are doing to stifle the growth of our, as an example, putting their fingers into things like, electric vehicles the way they do, even things like gas-powered snowblowers or furnaces or washing machines and dishwashers. They want to regulate to the point of changing the way these things are constructed because of this I don't know, this elusive climate change thing.
Yeah, the thinking is somebody has to be in charge. Why not us? I mean, it's weird, but you can actually get nostalgic for the days of Bill Clinton, who had a more nuanced understanding of this type of stuff.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. What about? Can I ask you about the Fed? Should they and tell me if I'm off base again on this, but do you think the Federal Reserve may be taking a look at economic I mean, it seems like they're keeping their hands away from raising interest rates, which is probably a good sign, I would think, overall, for borrowing purposes and the like. Any thoughts on the Federal Reserve and what they might be doing?
Well, I can tell you that the consensus is that what you said seems to be the case, that they're confident in sort of preserving at least the status quo for at least the near term. Beyond that, I couldn't tell you much.
Yeah. Not a problem. Getting back to the actual numbers, we added about 200,000 plus jobs in December. That was a little bit lower than the year prior, I guess, that time. Does it seem like we are slowly but surely pulling our way further and further away from the possibility of a recession?
Yeah, I do think that. I think that's a fair assumption to make. I mean, certainly the fear of it has declined over the past year. We seem to sort of move, sort of slowly creeped away from that, because there was a lot of talk about recession about a sort of year or so ago, and we've had enough steady but not overheated gains over the last year. I'm just pointing out that or to get back to what we discussed earlier, was while we are still seeing sort of fairly modest but consistent gains, we are also seeing employers pulling back a little bit. That's part of the reason why the labor market sort of remains as it is.
So are you optimistic overall about, excuse me, about 2024, despite the fact that we still got Biden running things in the White House?
Well, I'll put it this way. I'm moderately optimistic as far as the economy goes. As far as
that's
other
what
things
I meant.
In 2024.
I meant to say as far as the economy goes, not overall. I know how you feel.
I mean, there's a lot that's going to be happening in the coming year where things could go very sideways. So I guess we'll see
when
it happens.
All right. Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for taking all my stupid questions, Sean. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I look
Thanks
forward
for having me, Paul.
Of course, and I look forward to our next.
Hey, Sean.
Oh, hold on. Go ahead.
I heard a funny line the other day that a government who can't take care of the homeless and poverty, but by raising your tax dollars, they can solve global warming.
Yeah, there you go. They're going to solve global warming while we've got all these people running around homeless. All right, Sean.
But if the globe is warming, then the homeless people don't have that much to worry
about.
That's
true. All right, sir. Thank you again, Sean.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Sean Higgins. Okay, we're going to take our break. When we come back, boy, we got a lot going on. House Republicans are mulling a resolution this morning that would hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress. Remember, he ditched that appearance before a House committee. We'll talk about that.
If everybody had an ocean across the USA, then everybody'd be surfing like California. You'd see them wearing their baggies, Huarache sandals too, a bushy, bushy blonde hairdo, surfing USA.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back. It's Wednesday, and listen to this. Hunter Biden went into a hearing room this morning while they're holding contempt hearings on him. And then he ran out when they started asking him questions. He was slammed as a coward after fleeing the hearing room.
See what they should have said
in the face of questions. What's he doing? What's Hunter Biden doing to go in there and do that?
What they should have said is, Hunter, we got a bunch of buyers for your paintings.
Oh, then he would have stayed.
Exactly.
That's a very good point. Ed, you should have been there. So the Republicans in the House are considering a resolution this morning that, if passed, would set up a full House vote on whether to hold Biden, Hunter Biden, in contempt of Congress for defying that original subpoena. Remember when he showed up outside and he did took no questions, of course. But he showed up outside when he was supposed to go inside the House committee and do this. So this is really getting wild. We got our buddy Andrew the Master Barber joining us. And Andrew, I don't know what's going on. I don't know all the details. Maybe you know something more than I do about this Hunter Biden. But he apparently crashed this this hearing this morning that that the House was doing on whether or not to hold him in contempt.
Doing a hearing. He is in contempt.
He is, is he?
And why are they doing a hearing?
Why are they doing the hearing?
Yeah, why? They know he's in contempt. Just serve him the papers. You're in contempt of court. Arrest him and see you later.
Maybe they should arrest him immediately.
That's
but,
right.
Of course, that's the Justice Department. They'll arrest Republicans for being in contempt.
It's amazing. Hey, what do you think about New York City this morning? They're making the kids stay home to do their school work so they can house the migrants in the schools.
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. I just can't believe what they're doing.
They had them out on that runway in the tents, and then the storms were coming, and they felt that if something were to happen, the migrants would wind up suing the city of New York.
Really?
So they used the school and told the teachers, you have to have all your stuff out by 5 o'clock. And put all the migrants in there.
You're kidding?
The 2,000 migrants in there until the 4,000 kids, you'll be doing school by remote.
How many schools are infected by this?
No, the one school.
Well, there's one.
The one school that they're putting in there.
Okay. And that's in New York City. Well, that's crazy.
But Ed, Kathy Hochul and the mayor up there, boy, I'll tell you, they're doing a wonderful job.
Hey, I got some good news for you. Being a Trump fan as you are, a federal judge in Nevada has rejected a case that challenged the eligibility of Donald Trump to run in the state as a presidential contender. He ruled that the guy who brought the lawsuit lacked standing to begin with, and he tossed it. It's a she, by the way. I'm sorry, a judge is Gloria Navarro. By the way, she's an Obama appointee. She said, this guy has no standing. We're not going to even listen to him. So that took care of that for Nevada. Hopefully that'll take care of that for a bunch of other states, maybe too, where some of these people that are bringing these cases lack standing.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Everybody knows, Paul, it's ridiculous what's going on with all this. Listen, the guy is way ahead of everybody. He's destroying Biden in the polls. Now you got Michelle Obama all worked up. She wants to run for president now because she's going to straighten things out.
There you go.
It's amazing.
I think you brought that Michelle Obama thing up before, and I told you I can't. I thought it was a joke, but I did see her. I'm beginning to worry about that.
Oh, You ought to, because, you know, she'll be the black savior.
Yeah, well, I'm not worried. I shouldn't say I'm beginning to worry about it. I'm not worried about her winning.
No, personally, Trump will destroy anybody that gets in his way, Paul.
By the way, another story. You know, Donald Trump just can, and he'll be on.
He will be on Fox
News tonight. I think it's at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
With Brett Baer and Marsha McCallum. That's something I'm going to watch.
No question.
He's doing a town hall in Iowa, and he was preceded by Ron DeSantis yesterday and the day before by Nikki Haley doing a town hall. So he's waited, and it'll be very, very interesting. But
now, did you watch those?
I did.
Okay.
I did. And I must tell you, I like Ron DeSantis. I think he's going
to. Ron works hard.
He's going to do very well, I think, in the Iowa caucus.
We've always liked Ron. We just think that he just needs to stay in the oven a little and cook a little bit more. And
I like what he says.
And, you know,
we'll see how he does in Iowa, but I think he may surprise some people in those caucuses.
He might do better than you think, but he's not going to win it.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's going to win, but I like what he has to say. Now, I want to get back to Donald Trump. I want to bring this up because I know you know about this, Andrew. Fat Fannie Willis, she is the district attorney in the Fulton County, Georgia. She allegedly had an improper romantic relationship with somebody that is going after Donald Trump in Georgia. Her boyfriend met with the Biden White House twice last year as he worked to investigate Trump's alleged election interference. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, she was paying him.
Yeah.
She was paying him. Oh, I'll tell you what. But you know what? This is her boyfriend. She's got to pay somebody. I don't know if you've seen her or not, but that's beside the point.
Yeah,
but
this Fat Fannie Willis, she hired special prosecutor Nathan Wade, her alleged partner.
What did you say her name was?
Fat Fannie Willis.
Fat Fannie Willis.
Yes.
No, come on. That's not on her birth certificate.
It is.
Really?
It's Fannie, yeah.
It's Fannie Willis.
Oh, okay. You just...
Well, I might have added something. Okay. So what?
I didn't know.
Do you mind? Have you ever seen her, Ed?
No, but I am. I'm not going to see her in a string bikini, I'm guessing.
No, you're not. Am I wrong to call her Fat Fannie Willis, Andrew?
No, not at all.
Okay.
That's why we know she had to pay this guy. But
okay.
Anyway, Paul, look at how corrupt they are. And everything that they're doing, they're drilling me and Trump about doing. It's amazing.
Oh, sure.
It's amazing. I mean, I don't know what kind of a fair trial he's going to get here in Washington right now.
You'll not get a fair trial. He's going to have to appeal. It'll be appealed.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah, because they're going to find him guilty of, whatever it is that they're charging. They'll find him guilty in Washington, D.C.
It's amazing.
Yeah, so we know that. It's going to be a matter of whether or not, or how quickly the appellate courts rule and how quickly the Supreme Court comes in. The Supreme Court is going to abolish most all of these things if it ever gets to them.
They're going to have to.
Yeah.
They're going to have to. And they should be opening up their mouths right now. You know, the nine of them are sitting there making money doing absolutely nothing. They should be getting involved right now and quit waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting till it gets to them.
Well,
they should step in.
Mm-hmm. They are going to step in on his being on the ballot
in February.
In Colorado, yeah. But
in February? What are they doing between now and February? They got to wait that long.
I mean,
let's be real here.
Well, you know, everything, we know things move slowly, and particularly with the Supreme. They're actually doing it quicker than normal. They've agreed to take this, and believe it or not, they're doing it on an expedited fashion. You've got to remember, they've had all of these cases sitting in front of them that they've got, you know, their procedure for getting to each of these cases they've already got, and this thing shows up. So they are finding, a moment. I think they're going to come out and they're going to, unanimously rule that there is no way that a state can take precedent over a federal election and throw somebody off based on what they perceive to be something he did wrong, but was never found guilty of doing.
That's right. You can't
do that.
You can't do it, period.
Yeah.
You know,
like I said, Paul, if they get through with that and they find him guilty, you're going to see a revolution. People are tired of this crap, you know?
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
No, I don't think it is. I think people know that people will revolt.
You know, in less than 24 hours, I'm going to hear how Republicans are trying to take voters' rights away by making them prove who they are and mail-in ballots and blah, blah, taking away their rights to vote. Meanwhile, you're taking away people that we want to vote for, stepping in and telling us who we should and should not vote for. Is that not stealing voters' rights?
Of course it is. It's absolutely stealing.
You got a room full of people that think they're smarter than what, 50 or 60 million people that are going to vote for them?
Not even a room full. You got one person in Maine, a woman that decided, and she wasn't even elected, she was appointed.
Well, the rooms in Maine are small, so it could be a room full.
One woman in Maine decides to take Trump off the ballot. That's not going to hold. It just isn't going to hold. It doesn't make any... By the way, I want to talk about this, Andrew. Donald Trump remains the frontrunner in the New Hampshire primary. But Nikki Haley is moving up. And the big question is... there's been a couple of polls. Listen to this. There's a University of New Hampshire CNN poll that shows Nikki Haley is within striking distance of Trump in New Hampshire. According to that poll, Trump's at 39%, and Nikki Haley is at 32%. Now, that is as close as anybody's gotten to Donald Trump. They're usually over the horizon when it comes to the distance, right?
First of all, it's a CNN poll. Secondly, Nikki Haley's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Period. Period. Done deal. She's establishment rhino Republican. Going nowhere.
When it's CNN, they couldn't inflate her any more than Chris Christie's pants.
And you know what? And you know what? You know what? You know what wouldn't surprise
me? That's pretty good. I like that. Go ahead.
You know, the way the politics have been so far, what I've seen in my life, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if after all this is over with and Trump wins the Iowa primaries and this and that, when Trump gets the nomination, if him and Ron kissed, made up, and Ron got the VP.
You really believe that Ron DeSantis might be the VP? I don't see any...
No, I don't see it either, but Paul, you never know.
No, I see them kissing and making up, for sure. But I do not see him as VP. There's nothing. He's going to go after somebody that is going to be like a black woman or Scott from South Carolina. The other guy, Scott.
I would go with Kristi Noem if I was in.
Kristi Noem. That I think that one is a possibility too.
She would get every suburban housewife in the country.
No, I agree with you, but I don't think it's going to be Ron DeSantis.
She'd be on a few men's lockers in the inside too. The picture of her.
Yeah. No, she's a very attractive governor. There's no question about that. I wanted to mention there is another poll, though, that kind of counteracts the CNN poll. This is the Boston Globe Suffolk University poll, and it shows that Trump's got a 19-point lead over Nikki Haley, 46-27%. So that other one, the CNN poll, might be an outlier, you know.
Yeah, Paul. You know, the polls could talk all they want. We'll find out when the people start voting.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, if the South Carolina primary is coming up fairly soon, and if Trump beats Nikki Haley in South Carolina, I think that's it for her.
Well, Nikki Haley's not popular in South Carolina no more.
Mm-hmm.
People don't like her there.
And, yeah, and there's been some question about her connection to
China and everything.
Big time spenders and that kind of thing.
How much longer do we have to put up with Chris Christie faking like he's running for president?
Yeah, I don't think much longer. I think he's going to drop out fairly soon. Although he's going to stay because New Hampshire is the one spot he thinks he might make. I know he's not, but that's the one. Let's put it this way. I think he'll drop out.
He can shut down every toll booth up there, and he still's not going to get the votes.
Yeah.
What is the main state? Where is the state where Krispy Kreme is based out of? That might be the one state he wins.
Jersey?
New Jersey.
Well, no, he left there with a very poor rating.
Brewery.
Oh, it's poor. It's like 19%.
I didn't mean him. I meant Krispy Kreme donuts. Where was their base from?
Krispy Kreme?
Oh, I don't know.
Krispy Kreme donuts, because that'll be the state he wins. He's been supporting him for years.
Oh, maybe that's it. Yeah, somewhere in Ohio, but I don't know.
Better be it.
Okay, Andrew. Always a pleasure, my friend. You going to watch that?
I got my popcorn ready to go, buddy.
All right, I am too. Going to enjoy when Donald Trump, 9 o'clock tonight on Fox News.
You got
News.
It. Yeah, right. I can't wait to see the viewing on that one.
All right.
Be good, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much, my friend. We'll talk soon. All right. Andrew, the master barber. All right, we're going to take our break. And as we promised, when we get back, we are going to tell you about this poem. The creator of Yellowstone is taking liberals to task for scoffing at the work ethic philosophy of the series. And he's talked about this famous poem that foretold our current woke society. We're going to bring it to you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years. And two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. We love it when you listen to us live. But if you're busy, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast. You can go to our website at any time and listen to our show. Just go to OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button, and away you go. I wanted to update you, Hunter Biden's story, right? He crashed that contempt hearing. He and his lawyer, did you see that, Ed? It says here, Hunter Biden and his lawyers showed up to the House Oversight Committee's meeting this morning to consider a resolution that, if passed, would set up a full House vote on whether to hold Hunter in contempt of Congress for defying a subpoena when he didn't show up the first time. So he shows up and he sits in the audience while this whole thing is going on.
Sandy, do you wear a disguise or?
No, apparently not. The meeting started at 10 o'clock this morning, and they were meeting to consider this resolution. And who walks in and sits down in the audience to listen? But Hunter Biden, and his attorney Abby Lowell. And Kevin Morris, another one, came in, and they sit there in the audience as the lawmakers are talking about all of this. So away we go. Very, very interesting. All right. I want to talk about this Yellowstone series, and I'll admit I've never seen one of them. You have to, I think, have a certain...
Yeah, it's on, was it Paramount? One of those streaming
You have to subscribe
service.
To yeah, the streaming service. Yeah, okay, fair enough. The creator of Yellowstone is Taylor Sheridan. He was, and I'm reading a story, by the way. This I want to give credit to Alex Hall of Fox News, who wrote the story. And Taylor Sheridan spoke with Joe Rogan. You heard about Joe Rogan?
Yes.
Okay, Joe Rogan's a well-known podcaster. And they were talking about how social activities have polarized the country by vilifying things like work ethic and masculinity. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. And he mentioned a famous poem called If I Were the Devil. It was written and it was narrated by Paul Harvey. He was a well-known national radio commentator out of Chicago back in the mid-60s. On April the 3rd, 1965, Paul Harvey talked about, in this poem, the way things might become. And we're going to play you that poem, the one that this Taylor Sheridan referred to as a precursor of what was to come.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, the... So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
How prescient in April of 1965 was this guy, Paul Harvey, with some of the things that have occurred since then. I think he's nailed a lot of it. And this is what Taylor Sheridan, the creator of Yellowstone, had to say as well. He said, wow, April 3rd, 1965, Paul Harvey nailed it. So there you go. All right,
I know in the middle of the first season, they were trying to shut it down.
Yeah. I wish I had seen it. I'm glad Kevin Costner, who's a big celebrity, is doing the show. I hope a lot of people watch the program. So there you go. All right, Ed. It is time for our top 10. And I think this is an interesting one. This comes from visualcapitalist.com, the top 10 richest U.S. politicians, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go, number 10.
Yay!
A little music with the drums. Mark Warner, the senator from Virginia, number 10. He's worth $215 million. He's a Democrat. Well, there's a tie here, so we'll say number 8 twice. Rick Scott. He is our senator here in Florida. He's worth $300 million. And Mitt Romney. Good old Mitt Romney. He's a senator from Utah. He's also worth $300 million. All right, number 6. Hey, we have a tie. Another tie, all right. Glenn Youngkin. He is the governor of Virginia. He's a Republican. $400 million. The other number 6 is Jared Polis. He is the Colorado governor. He is a Democrat, and he's also worth $400 million. Number 5, Jim Justice. Another governor, by the way, West Virginia, Republican, $450 million. Number 4, Darrell Issa. He is the congressman from the 48th District in California. See him on TV all the time. He is a Republican. He's worth $460 million. Number 3. This guy, remember the guy that ran for president and dropped out, Doug Burgum?
No.
The governor of North Dakota.
No.
Yeah. He's worth $1.1 billion.
Wow.
He doesn't need to run for no stinking presidential job. Number 2. Donald Trump is number 2. He is, obviously, we know
him.
That's
going to be regurgitated tomorrow. I can hear it now.
He's worth $2 billion, they say. All right. And do you want to guess as who is the richest politician in the U.S. then?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
There's so many of them.
Yeah. It's J.B. Pritzker.
Huh.
He is the governor of Illinois. He is a Democrat. He is worth $3.4 billion.
Now, did most of I would hope most of these were rich before they got rich.
They were all rich before, yes.
They have a problem when they get rich.
No, they didn't. They're not like Joe Biden, making it while they're a politician.
By the way, there was an endorsement for Nikki Haley yesterday. I don't know if you saw that, but Judge Judy from TV.
Oh,
Came out and supported.
Wow. Is that supposed
to be? But guess who Judge Judy supported in 2020?
Donald Trump.
Nope.
Who?
Bloomberg.
Oh, really? Well, maybe that's not going to go anywhere.
He would be a great president. I think she's slipping.
All right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back Friday. Remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS